The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Rodgers has told certain members of the organization that he does not want to return to the Green Bay Packers.
Aaron Rodgers has every right to want out of Green Bay.
I want nothing more than to see him back in a Packer uniform.
It's just kind of about a philosophy. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way.
Football is a team sport, but right now this is a one-on-one battle.
If he misses the mandatory minicamp, the Packers can fine him up to $93,000.
You expect him to be here? It is mandatory.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see come Tuesday.
Tuesday is here, and there was no sign of Aaron Rodgers at Packers mandatory OTAs. You're looking at him right now. We're less than 2 minutes away from a live report out of Green Bay with all the latest. We'll also be live with the Cowboys as Dak Prescott, just 9 months removed from breaking his ankle, was back on the field with his teammates. Find out what his head coach had to say about his progress and the chance. Back on the field, Tom Brady rehabbing from an injury of his own. He's on the field just letting it rip out there today. Sal Palantonio caught up with Bruce Arians to talk about the quarterback's progress. Brady full go on the first day of Bucs minicamp because, of course, he was. 43 is apparently the new 23. Also coming later in the show, the reason why the Cowboys offense is all about Dak now and no longer about Zeke. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. You see him right here. Adam Schefter, Tim Hasselbeck, and Ryan Clark with you for the hour. Let's roll right into Green Bay, my friends. That's where all eyes are right now. And you're looking at video from Packers mandatory minicamp today. You're also not looking at Aaron Rodgers because, of course, he's not there. That did not stop the rest of his team from being asked about the quarterback, including head coach Matt LaFleur.
I'm not going to get into my conversations with Aaron and the communication. And I think, you know, I'm naturally optimistic, but, you know, again, we'll take it day by day and just do whatever we can to help remedy this situation.
Honestly, I got no expectations, man. I'm just, you know, being supportive of my God and let it all unfold how it does. Obviously, I'm praying that he comes back. We all want him back.
Everybody needs to stop thinking about everything, and everybody needs to understand. Mind each other's business, and we play with the 11 that we have in the building.
Whatever he wants to do, whatever the situation that comes out, I will never hold any grudge against him. That is my friend. That is someone that I have appreciated, and he has done a lot for this organization and a lot for me as an individual. Now, as a teammate, I would be idiotic to say that I don't want the MVP back.
Well, there you go. And our daily report now from Rob Domofsky. He's been all over this Aaron Rodgers story all offseason. Rob, the big June 8th date is upon us. No sign of Rodgers. What's the mood around the facility today?
Laura, it's really become the new normal around here. Another open practice and another day that Aaron Rodgers isn't here. The interesting thing today is that it is mandatory, as you said. Now, I asked Coach Matt LaFleur if he's going to excuse him or if he's going to fine him. Of course, you heard Adam Schefter report that in the last couple of days that they could excuse him. And LaFleur would not say whether this was going to be considered an excused absence or a finable one. But it was interesting to note that two of the guys we spoke with today are two of Rodgers' closest friends on this team. You heard David Bakhtiari and Devontae Adams. I asked David Bakhtiari if he thought Aaron Rodgers would ever play for the Packers again. And he said, I have just as much of an idea as anybody else does, which essentially means he has no idea. And as for Devontae Adams, he was asked whether he would eventually get frustrated that one of the great quarterbacks, if not the greatest in the league, wouldn't show and it would let them down. And he said, I would stand on a mountain, a bleeping mountain, and say that I've got my quarterbacks back. So at this point, Laura, the players are all behind Rodgers. They'd obviously love to have him back, but they're not going to hold any grudges until he gets what he wants, if he indeed ever gets that from the Packers.
Yeah, and of course, some of those players did hold out when it wasn't mandatory, but now it doesn't make financial sense for them to continue to hold out. More Rob coming later on in the show. The next date to keep an eye on, by the way, July 27th. That's when the Packers are scheduled to report to training camp. Let's get Adam Schefter in here. He broke the news on draft night back in April that Rodgers wanted out. Adam, has Rodgers' stance softened at all now that OTAs have started without him?
Not in the slightest bit, Laura. In fact, yesterday I was told he is quote-unquote strong as hell in his stance. And again, let's just let the facts tell the story. He did not attend OTAs, foregoing a $500,000 workout bonus for the first time in his career. This is the very first time in his career that he's missed a mandatory minicamp, which subjects him to a $93,000+ fine that the Packers can waive. And then you heard his closest friends on the team today say they have no idea if and when he'll be back. Well, he's not there, and they don't know if he's coming there, and the Packers organization has been meeting with him for 5 months now, trying to persuade him to come back, and he's still not any closer to being back, and he's still mad as hell. Then what does that tell you? It tells you that the Green Bay Packers need to start preparing for life without Aaron Rodgers. And it was explained to me this way also, that Aaron Rodgers, if he were to come in, if he were to come in and elevate this franchise the way he has throughout his career and win an MVP and they win games and championships and titles and all those things, guess what? That shines a light on all the people that he does not want to shine a light on. He doesn't want them to look any better than they have when these relationships have been what they've been. So there are a whole host of factors, but if we just slice through it all and look at the facts tell us that the Green Bay Packers have a major problem on their hands.
Adam with us until 5 p.m. We've known this whole time, RC, this is not a money thing. It's not a football thing necessarily. It's personal. So as you hear Adam's point there about if Aaron Rodgers shows up and plays and makes this Packers front office look good, that's not what he wants at all. How does that make you feel about this entire conversation?
I mean, I've been saying it from the beginning that this was personal, that it wasn't about business. And depending on how you look at things, how you feel about things, you can either feel that Aaron Rodgers is in the right or Aaron Rodgers is on the side of wrong because he's not upholding to what his contract says he's supposed to do based on personal feelings. But that's why when you ask David Bakhtiari or Devontae Adams what they expect Aaron Rodgers to do, they have no clue because this is based in emotion. This is based on what you feel. This is no longer about an organization and its Hall of Fame quarterback. This is about a couple's dispute. And you know what happens in couples disputes? It doesn't matter what the facts say. It doesn't matter necessarily of who's wrong or who's right. It matters about what people feel. And what Aaron Rodgers feels is he's been done wrong by the individuals that are executives for the Green Bay Packers. He separated that from the organization. And so there's no telling where those emotions will take him or when those emotions will subside. So if you're the Green Bay Packers, you have to know that you're in a whole heap of trouble and you better be getting ready to play without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, listen, RC, you're right on the money that it's personal. I think it's interesting, you know, Adam's nugget there about, you know, being explained to him in a way that, you know, if Aaron comes back and the team has success, then, you know, it's basically going to shine light and give credit to people that Aaron, you know, doesn't want to have, you know, credit given to. Listen, that there's right. Nothing more personal than that. And in many ways, it kind of, you know, stinks to hear that if you're part of a team. And the team isn't just made up of players. It's made up of coaches and people that, you know, work in the front office and in other areas of the organization. And that's a really bad look. And that's why I think this is about as ugly as I've seen it in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. All of that to say, it's pretty interesting to hear some of those players talk because those guys certainly have his back, especially the guys that have been with him for a little while. Because if Aaron Rodgers is wrong by, you know, not wanting other people to get credit, well, I think that those players still also believe that it was important to have a quarterback play as well as he did and then have a quarterback drafted without any notice.
David Bakhtiari and Devontae Adams did exactly what friends are supposed to do. I tell my friends all the time, I'm with you when you're right, and I'm even with you when you're wrong, at least publicly. They did exactly what you're supposed to do if you're a part of that team. I love that solidarity. I love the way they're rocking with him. But at the end, David Bakhtiari showed a little bit of his true Green Bay Packer teammate self and said, I'd be crazy if I said I didn't want the MVP back in this locker room.
Because, Ryan, they know that if he's not back, that they will be one of the worst teams in football. And if he is back, they will be amongst the best with a chance to compete for a Super Bowl title. Which again, will justify Aaron Rodgers' feelings and stance and decision, with whatever he decides to do. But if he stays away and doesn't show up there and the Packers struggle, that will validate his feelings. And if he goes in and plays like the MVP that he is, one of the greatest players of all time, which he is, and they win, well, guess what? What a job by the president. What a job by the GM. What a job by all those people that helped bring back Aaron Rodgers and keep the Packers where they have always been. And so,
I'll tell you what, guys. I tell you what, though, Adam, we won't get Michael Jordan and Jerry Krause in The Last Dance then. We will get the dance that was interrupted by Aaron Rodgers' feelings. He won't have to say, I hated Jerry and brought him championships. He'll say, I ain't like those dudes, so I ain't go play and win no games. Because obviously, he took that personally.
Yeah, we can't wait for that 30 for 30 and maybe more than that. Check out ESPN Plus in like 10 years.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Check this out. We're exactly 250 days away from Super Bowl 56 at SoFi Stadium. Can't wait for that. That's a place that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers would like to be as they try to defend their Super Bowl title February 13th. And there he is, Tom Brady. You know, there are some veteran quarterbacks who are like, yeah, I think I'm good on camp. I'm going to pass on that or maybe take a back seat during this time. Not Tom Brady. Look at him out there today, number 12. Getting back in action and ready to go. You see the wrap he has around his knee there. More on that, of course, later. Sal Palantonio in Tampa with the Buccaneers. And Sal, you had a chance to go one-on-one with head coach Bruce Arians today. What did he tell you?
Well, Bruce Arians, Laura, was shocked that Tom Brady did all the work that he did during this first day of the mandatory minicamp. We all were. Remember, the expectation from the coach last week was that Brady was going to do a lot of coaching and not much else. Well, exactly the opposite happened. 1 hour and 40 minutes of detailed, specific, tough work with the entire ball club on the field. And afterwards, I asked Bruce Arians, well, what is Tom Brady right now? How's he look?
He's about 90%. I was really pleased with what he did today. I was a little scared. I took him out of the blitz drill. I didn't want anybody running around his feet, but he wanted to get in there, and that's 90% of the battle.
Because really, Bruce, I mean, the whole thing is you got to make sure that this guy stays healthy for training camp, is ready for September 12th, right? And then you got a 17-game season. So how much of this is managing a guy who's going to be 44 years old this year?
Yeah, he learned a lot of that last year, how I handle that. You know, there'll be a Wednesday or that he'll take off here and there. Just, hey, this is about the time, you know, this month we're going to take this Wednesday off. Where's your arm? Training camp, the same thing. We're not going every day. And it's the way I manage all the vets. You know, we've got some very, very young players, and we've got some guys that don't need to practice every day.
You know, it's really interesting, Laura. I asked Bruce Arians about the specific nature of what Tom Brady did on the field. He said that Todd Bowles, the Bucs defensive coordinator, put a lot of new defensive plays in, didn't really tell anybody about it. And Brady was asking Arians about it afterwards. So Brady's trying to catch up right here in June. July 24th is the beginning of training camp. I have a feeling you'll be seeing me back here in Tampa with the Super Bowl champs. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Sal, they really give you the tough assignment. You're hanging out in Tampa Bay there with the champs. Tough stuff for you. I love it. All right. Me too. The Buccaneers will try to become the first team to repeat a Super Bowl champ since Brady's Patriots did it in 2003 and 2004. Since 2005, actually five of the defending Super Bowl champions have missed the playoffs altogether, while seven have been eliminated in the wild card or divisional round. Only three have made it back to the Super Bowl. They all lost, by the way, the 2014 Seahawks, 2017 Patriots, and most recently the 2020 Chiefs. So it's no secret it's pretty hard to repeat as a champion of anything, definitely hard as a Super Bowl champion. RC, your team had a chance in 2009 after winning Super Bowl 43 to try and repeat. What's it like going to camp and then the season trying to do it all over again?
Well, the camp and the season, they're mostly like all the other camps and seasons. I think coaches work a little harder to point out some of the deficiencies and some of the places you have to get better, because obviously some of the guys are still riding on that high horse of hoisting that Lombardi trophy. But it's more so about the way that people play you. It's more so about you understanding that you will be attacked week in and week out. And that's what coaches are trying to get you to understand, that it's not the 13th grade, right? When you graduate high school and go to college, it's a totally different thing. And that's what each year is in the NFL. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are only the defending Super Bowl champion in its namesake, right? In the history books. As far as what they'll be on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays throughout the season is another team trying to win the championship that year. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the perfect quarterback to understand that, and that's Tom Brady.
Yeah, RC, the current 16-year stretch without a team repeating as Super Bowl champs is the longest in NFL history. Some sad news today, as former Giants coach Jim Fossil has died. His son John told the Los Angeles Times he was under sedation after being taken to a local hospital with chest pains and died on Monday. Fossil coached the Giants from 1997 to 2003, won Coach of the Year honors in his first season, and appeared in Super Bowl 35 against the Ravens. Adam, you covered Fossil for years, grew to know him personally. What's your favorite memory of the former Giants head coach?
Laura, he was a great man, and he was somebody that coached John Elway in college, then again in Denver with the Broncos. He was somebody that would call you up on the phone and really not let you off, continue to tell you stories and share insight and wisdom. Was tremendous like that. But I think one thing that people will always remember Jim Fossil for is the soundbite that he delivered in the Giants' run to the Super Bowl.
So if you got the crosshairs, you got the laser, you put it right on my chest, I'll take full responsibility. I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game, I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante, anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
And that team did go to the playoffs, and Jim Fossil delivered on that promise. And it was another one of those great guarantees in New York. And it was an underrated soundbite. And Jim Fossil was a great man. Condolences to his family.
Yeah, and Coach Fossil was my first coach. He's the only coach that gave me an opportunity to play in this league. And you don't necessarily think about people every day. But when I finally read this news and saw that he passed, I thought about something he did for me. My first opportunity to start, it was on prime time. It was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we were really not playing well. And he looked at me and he said, "You know what? This is the team that gave you a chance. You worked to earn this opportunity. Isn't this exactly what you've worked for?" And he said he was happy to be the coach to give me that chance. And when no other coach thought you were good enough to have you on their team, when there's a coach who decided to keep you because of your play, even start you because of your play and opportunity that you'd earned. And he took his time and given one of those great speeches that was for their entire team. And he looked at me and he pointed at me and he looked me in my eyes and he gave me something from his heart. I think that's who Jim Fossil was, and that's who he should be remembered as. And for the football community, for all of us who ever got an opportunity to play for him, this is a huge loss of a really good man.
Yeah, countless people benefited from the belief that Jim Fossil instilled in them. Our thoughts are with the Fossil family.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Soccer, the NBA playoffs, and UFC 263 highlight our sports lineup. We'll have the Euro matchup between Turkey and Italy Friday afternoon on ESPN, with Belgium and Russia Saturday on ABC. Game 3 of the Western Conference semifinals between the Jazz and Clippers is Saturday at 8:30 Eastern. And we cap the night with UFC 263 on ESPN Plus. Pay-per-view got you covered right here on ESPN and ABC. A couple weeks ago, Dak Prescott said he's already ready to play if the season started right now. He does have quite a bit of time following his broken ankle still left. You're looking at Dak on the practice field out there today. He participated in 7-on-7. Ed Werder is covering the Cowboys OTAs. Ed, what's the team saying about Dak's health?
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy described quarterback Dak Prescott as being exactly where he needs to be as he continues his recovery from the leg and ankle injuries that ended his 2020 season after just 5 games and required 2 surgeries. Prescott's been held out of 11-on-11 work to this point to prevent any defenders from inadvertently falling into him. McCarthy says that plan will be followed throughout this minicamp, with the expectation being he participates fully during training camp. McCarthy said they believe the quarterback will be able to practice every day, but also said they're not naive and recognize the possibility of adjustments being necessary for any player coming off a major joint injury.
Thanks, Ed. I gotta say, guys, it's fun to watch Dak move around out there. It looks like he's moving around pretty good.
It is.
RC, there's pressure every season to win in Dallas, right? It's the Cowboys. But who's gonna be feeling it most this season?
Oh, it's the defense. I mean, the defense was like Pepe Le Pew stinky last year. It was absolutely awful. We were talking about these record numbers being put up by Dak and all of these great wide receivers, but those numbers were needed just to lose by a little, not even to win football games. You replace Mike Nolan with Dan Quinn. You bring in a great defensive back coach and Joe Witt, who's been in this league for over a decade. And you draft defense, Michael Parsons, Kelvin Joseph. And you said, you know what? We're going to focus on getting better on that side of the ball to help our offense. We know what Dak can do. We know what Ezekiel Elliott can do, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Gallup. But what are they going to do on the defensive side of the ball? Can the new guys play well? And can some of the old players get back to the form that got them paid by Jerry Jones?
And RC, that's actually why I think the pressure is on Mike McCarthy. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, hey, Dan Quinn can't coach. Oh, you know, Joe Vitt doesn't know how to coach defensive backs. Listen, Mike McCarthy had to fire his defensive coordinator and hire a new one. I mean, Mike Nolan was his hire. That was his fault, technically, why they stunk a year ago. And offensively, everyone believes in Dak Prescott. He's got the quarterback under contract. Mm-hmm. He's healthy. He's got plenty of good players around him. Ezekiel Elliott probably should have a bounce back year. You know, offense is the background of Mike McCarthy. I actually think this is in a situation now where you go, look, if they're not winning, people aren't going to blame Dak. People aren't going to blame Dan Quinn. People are going to blame Mike McCarthy. So I think that's, you know, really where the pressure is. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat to lose his job, but that's who's going to get all the blame if they have another losing season, because the previous 4 years under Jason Garrett, they were 500 or better.
Hey, listen, I think Tim's points are well taken, but I think there's something about putting a Cowboys head coach on blast that's become a sport, right? How long did we do that for Jason Garrett? Now we're one season into Mike McCarthy. Tim, and Tim, of all people, is already putting Mike McCarthy on blast. Okay, Tim. I agree with what you're saying, but pay attention, Mike McCarthy. Your seat's going to get warm real fast per Tim Hasselbeck.
Tim.
Hey, listen, it's not per me. Listen, it's nothing that Mike doesn't know. They went 6-10 last year. It stinks your quarterback got hurt. But guess what? Mike Tomlin went 8-8 with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. Like, people don't
care.
This is
true.
And I can't imagine Jerry Jones cares. So the reality is, like, look, you went 6-10. It's the Dallas Cowboys, and your quarterback signed a deal to pay him $140 million.
Yeah, you know, I lost the bet that Pepe Le Pew would end up in NFL Live today. That's a whole different kind of stink. But, Ryan, we're saying that there's no pressure on Dak. There's no pressure on Zeke. Is that really true? Those two guys, I mean, you would think that there would at least be something on their shoulders.
Hey, listen, Laura, when your pockets are as fat as Dak and Ezekiel Elliott are right now, there is no pressure. You're not arguing about finance at home. Listen, there's a pressure for those guys to perform, but not necessarily perform in a way that they haven't throughout the years. Dak Prescott earned this deal through his play, through his leadership. Ezekiel Elliott the same way. Now, I think some people will feel like Zeke needs to play better. He needs to step up. He needs to carry the team more. But when you look at all of the weapons that they have offensively, they're expected to score. They're expected to be able to put up points. And I think that they will, because we've seen that done by these group of individuals. We haven't seen this defense work. We haven't seen this new defense coordinator, these new players. this new scheme. And everybody believes that it wasn't the offense that made this team 6-10 last year. I think that pressure lies squarely on the side of the football that has to stop other people from scoring.
Yeah, and listen, I think with these guys, when Dak puts his head on the pillow at night, I don't think he's ever thinking, man, I hope I play well this year. Like, I think that is the furthest thing from his mind. I think he knows how good of a player he is. He may say, man, yes, I hope I can stay healthy this year, you know, but I don't think there's ever a question in his mind, based on his resume, what he has done in the National Football League, that he wonders if he's going to be good enough. He's been more than good enough and finally got rewarded for it. So, to me, I don't think he feels that type of pressure. Pressure to stay healthy, sure, but I think every player feels that.
You know, I think Dak has some mattress commercials. I wonder if he's, like, laying in his mattress at night thinking, I do have to score 45 points per game if we've got any chance of winning it at all.
I hope not.
Listen, we're going to be talking about the Cowboys all offseason, and I know that's no surprise to anybody. Back to our top story today, which we'll also stay on, a significant moment in the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers as he was not present at mandatory OTAs. June 8th is a day we all had circled on the calendar, and yet I don't think many expected Rodgers to show up. But Adam, of course, you broke this story. It came to a head on draft day in April. Nearly 6 weeks have passed. Are the sides any closer to figuring this thing out?
Well, 6 weeks have passed since the draft, Laura, and 5 months really have passed since the Green Bay Packers officials have been meeting with Aaron Rodgers, flying out to meet with him, and nothing's changed. Aaron Rodgers seems every bit as entrenched in his stance today as he was when the Packers officials, Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, first became aware of his unhappiness. And despite their repeated trips to meet with him, and despite their repeated pleas and requests to see what they could do differently, nothing has changed. And so that's where you have to begin to wonder if over 5 months and continuous meetings and continuous conversation, nothing has changed, what will change it? I know some people have thrown out, oh, a new contract will change this. I don't think this has anything to do with a new contract. I think this is much more personal than it is about a new contract that the Packers could go and give Aaron Rodgers. And keep in mind, the Packers don't have a single owner that could step in the way that a Rooney would, the way that a Kraft would. This is a different operation. And so the Packers are operating with different circumstances, but nothing's changed. I was told yesterday that Aaron Rodgers is, quote unquote, strong as hell in his stance of where he is today. And if nothing's changed and he's still strong as hell and he missed his first set of OTAs and he's not at mandatory minicamp for the first time, sometimes when the facts add up to a certain situation and there's an accumulation of information, we can believe it.
Yeah, it's an extremely important clarification by you too, Adam, that it's not some situation where they can just get rid of Brian Gutekunst to make Aaron Rodgers happy. That's not the situation there in Green Bay based on how they're constructed as an organization.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tonight, we'll have game one of the best of three Women's College World Series Championship Series from Oklahoma City. Couple softball powerhouses on the big stage. Number one seeded Oklahoma taking on Florida State. Our pregame coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app.
The Atlanta Falcons expected to trade wide receiver Julio Jones to the Titans.
We don't wait around when it's time to go get it.
You, the GOAT of our era.
Julio Jones, holy goodness.
How could you not be excited to play with the guy?
You can call them the Tennessee Mezzomorphs now.
Come home, Julio. Come home.
All right, Falcons fans, turn away. We're going to have to get used to it, though, right? Julio Jones, you see it right there, arriving in Nashville on Monday. The 7-time Pro Bowler officially traded to the Titans on Sunday. He landed yesterday. He was greeted there by GM John Robinson. Hey, you heard from Julio's top recruiter, A.J. Brown, moments ago. Well, apparently there won't be a negotiating for the number 11 jersey in Tennessee. Brown tweeting today, number 11 until I retire. I tried to give it up. He wouldn't take it. Respect. How about that out of Julio saying, no, you can keep 11. All right. So if you think about what this Titans offense is going to look like, it sounds pretty scary, right? You think about this three-headed monster on this offense. Ryan, from the defensive standpoint, how do you try and defend these guys now with Julio Jones? It does make you close your eyes and shake your head, right?
What will you do when you pull up in Nashville? The country music will not be for you. The barbecue won't either unless it's Julio, Derek, and AJ barbecuing you to the end zone.
Fire.
Hey, listen, you shouldn't be stressed out about the tape, RC. It was a beautiful tape and very accurate. Defending them is going to be hard because just the physical nature of the guys they have on their roster. I think the excitement surrounding Julio joining the Titans, is real, and it makes a ton of sense. The question I end up having is really kind of twofold. One is, how is he going to adjust to the new role? Think about this. Julio Jones is averaged 9.8 targets per game throughout his career. That is the most in NFL history. Receivers love it when they run routes and the ball gets thrown to them. You know what they hate? When they run routes and the ball doesn't come their way. What is he going to be like? How is it going to feel to him when he has a game where he's targeted twice, maybe three times, maybe he has one catch for 7 yards? You just think about it this way. You know, A.J. Brown was the number one wide receiver last year in a run-first offense. He had just over 100 targets. Like, his share of the targets is going to grow, and Julio is going to get smaller. I just think that is going to be a big adjustment for how he's used to playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to go ahead and give the Titans the Super Bowl, and then Tim comes in here saying that, RC. I mean, it's like after your tape, giving him the Super Bowl, and then Tim poured some water on that. What do we got?
Hey, it's all right for Tim to do that. I understand what he's saying, especially offensively, but just having the opportunity to play call the way they will is a different deal for them. They haven't had that type of flexibility, but this is about defense to me. If this defense can make huge plays when they need to, not necessarily be a top defense in the league as far as yardage goes, but if they're good in situational football, if the Janoris Jenkins, the Caleb Farleys, Elijah Moldens, Chris Fulton can step up and be good in that secondary, this is a team that can challenge to get kind of in that realm and on that tier with the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, right, especially in their division. All right, in other news, quarterback Ryan Tannehill officially restructuring his contract today. Are Jeremy Fowler adding some context? This is really interesting. He tweeted that the Titans got indication Saturday that a Tannehill restructure would work out, which set the stage for the Julio deal the next day. Those moves had to be made together. The move reportedly freed up more than $15 million in cap space, and it makes sense that you would think Tannehill would want to try to do everything he could to get Julio Jones. Former Chiefs assistant Britt Reid, the son of Andy Reid, has pleaded not guilty to a felony DWI charge. And yesterday, a judge ruled that he will be allowed to resume driving as long as he passes a breathalyzer-type test before his vehicle starts. Prosecutors say Reid was driving just under 84 miles per hour, had a blood alcohol level of 0.113, nearly 2 hours after a crash on February 4th that left 5-year-old Ariel Young with a traumatic brain injury. Reid faces a maximum sentence of 7 years in prison, and no trial date has been set. Minicamp's officially underway, and that means all eyes on Aaron Rodgers today in Green Bay. See everybody out there? There's Jordan Love. There's no Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love is QB1. Aaron Jones out back in action. And, of course, Devontae Adams getting his reps in. Let's bring in Rob Domofsky, who was with the team today. So no Rodgers meant all eyes on Jordan Love. Rob, what did you see as Love and the starting wide receivers finally took the field together for the first time?
Well, Laura, it wasn't quite all of the top receivers. Yes, Davante Adams was here, and we heard from him today, but we didn't really see him do much on the field. He was just working off to the side while the rest of the team went through their drills. But it was an opportunity for Jordan Love to work with some of the rest of the top receivers, the Allen Lazards, Marquez Valdez-Scantlings, and Devin Funchess. And it didn't go all that well. In fact, it was probably the least accurate day that we've seen from Love during the three open practices we've had. He failed in a two-minute drill, and yes, I kept stats. He was 12 out of 23, just barely over 50%.
All right. Well, listen, I mean, you can't deny these facts. Rob's seeing it with his own eyes there. And I don't want to get too dramatic about this, right? It's the first time we're really getting to see Jordan Love in this type of environment. But, RC, in your mind, how concerning is that report?
I don't think it's concerning. I think it's a thing that we report on because Aaron Rodgers isn't there. And if he isn't there, Jordan Love will have to be the quarterback. I mean, there were times we stumped Ben out at practice, and Ben was still able to go out there and win two Super Bowls. And so I'm not saying Jordan Love is Ben Roethlisberger, but sometimes when you're playing experienced veterans defensively and you're in a two-minute drill, they're going to get some wins. You're going to throw some bad footballs. It's about his continual progression. Now, if we're having these same conversations into training camp closer to the season after the preseason, I think then it's concerning because real ball is about to be played.
Yeah, Adam, is there a real chance that Jordan Love is the starter week one against the Saints?
I mean, you tell me what Aaron Rodgers is thinking at this point in time and whether he'll follow through. I think there are people who insist that he won't budge and that he will stay in the stance. And if that's the case, yes, Jordan Love is your week one starter. We just don't know whether Aaron Rodgers will come off a stance he has not budged off of for 5 months. Now, again, you'll notice today, his close teammates, David Bakhtiari, Davante Adams, talking. And again, I think that's almost like the Packers' backhanded way of emotionally appealing to Aaron Rodgers, saying, here are your guys. Here's how much they want you here in Green Bay. Come back to them. And to me, that's the Packers' best hope, that in time that he loves the sport so much, that he loves his teammates and coaches so much, that he goes back to support them. But then I come back to what other people have told me about the fact that he doesn't want to make the other people look well, that he hasn't budged, that he's strong as hell, he hasn't attended OTAs, he hasn't attended mandatory minicamp, and that accumulation of information there it is again, sticking out to make it such that there's a realistic chance, yeah, that Jordan Love could be starting week one.
Yeah, you know, I see the players' reaction to Aaron not being there a little bit differently than Adam. I don't think the team put those guys up to that whatsoever. I think they got asked about it, and I think they spoke about their friend. And so I think that, you know, that support there, I think in some ways, was putting a little bit more pressure on the team when you have stars like Davante Adams and David Bakhtiari being like, yeah, of course we want him here. The other thing that puts pressure on the team is when the quarterback who you drafted in the first round after Aaron Rodgers, you know, throws over 50 touchdowns and like six picks, you know, in 2018 and 19 that you draft in the first round, and then he's your third quarterback all of last year. When that guy doesn't play well and Rob Domofsky, you know, is keeping stats, now all of a sudden the fan base is going to be like, oh, hold up. We're with Bakhtiari and Adams. Bring Aaron back. Like,
right.
Tell him he's good looking, you're ugly. Tell him, you know, you're smart and we're dumb. Like, go ahead and Billy Madison, Aaron Rodgers, let him know that he was right and that you were wrong.
Yeah, you know, Adam. Go ahead, RC. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you want to go to Aaron Rodgers' house right now, you're going to say you is kind, you is smart, you is important. We need you back here.
Hey, well, it's interesting because Adam referenced this. You know, maybe the Packers are banking on Aaron Rodgers saying, I just want to go back and be with my teammates, be with the coaches that I love, because we know they're not the problem for him. But, Tim, there is a world where Aaron Rodgers is sitting at home, you know, and he's watching all this go on, and people are going to keep talking about Jordan Love, whether it's positive or negative. Maybe it changes. How do you think, Tim, that affects the way that Aaron Rodgers starts to feel about all this?
Yeah, I think it can isolate him. You know, the voluntary stuff, you know, the wide receivers basically decided to stand arm in arm with him and not go. You know, he had some company from his boys. Like, now, all of a sudden, it doesn't make sense for them to skip these mandatory sessions because, you know, financially it would hurt them. And so now he can be isolated. And if Jordan Love had a good two-minute drill today. You know, guys would be talking about, yeah, he looked great. You know, clearly, you know, it's been a good offseason for him. And now you can start to feel isolated if you're Aaron. So, yeah, look, that ends up being the danger in it. But I also think Aaron is trying to basically let everybody know who Brian Gutekunst is to say, hey, look what I've done for this organization. Look what he's done.
Yeah, if you didn't know that name prior to these recent months, you now do. Adam, you get the last word here.
Well, it's also something that I think is important for Jordan Love to go through this week, because he better get used to the idea that everybody is watching him, charting him, documenting him, criticizing him, because all eyes are on Jordan Love from this point until Aaron Rodgers does or doesn't show up in Green Bay again.